Well, good morning again. And as I said, my name is Pastor Steve French. And when people find out that you're a pastor, very much like they find out if you're a doctor or a lawyer, I guess they, you know, ask medical or legal questions. But with a pastor, sometimes the questions, well, let me just say they're a little bizarre, and I won't go into them. But so when I'm talking to someone and I'm not sure that they're a true believer, I like to give them what I call is Frenchie's philosophy, which is still 100% biblical. But the conversation has begun before they realize, oh, they're hearing God's word, which is a good thing. But when you come to hear a sermon, I know that you're here to listen to God's word. And I do have a lot of information to throw at you this morning. But believe me, there is a message to my madness. Now, I enjoy reading C.S. Lewis and A.W. Tozer and my hero Billy Graham and his wife Ruth Graham, who've both gone to be with the Lord. Unfortunately, I've never got to meet either one of them, but my wife and I will be celebrating 38 years of marriage next month, and it's this quote from Ruth that I love a lot, because I'm sure many of you ladies in the audience can relate, and I'm sure my wife has related to it very much as well. During an interview, they asked her, "Did you ever think about divorce?" And she quickly responded, "No. In all these years of marriage, I've never thought of divorce." But she quickly added, "But I have thought of murder a few times." Okay. So I have two Billy Graham quotes that I think kind of tie into my sermon today. The first is, being a Christian is more than an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby we grow more and more to be like Christ. And the second quote of his is, "I am convinced the greatest act of love we can ever perform for people is to tell them about God's love for them in Christ." And today we're going to look at three verses in which God gives us his definition in Scripture of love, so that we don't fall for what the rest of the world considers love to be. And it also helps us measure where we are in our personal relationship with Christ. So today I'm asking you, where are you in your walk with Jesus? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with that person, and he will sup with me. This is from Revelation 3:20. But I'm going to show you today, even though this is in Revelation, this is also Jesus' word to the people at Laodicea, a gospel verse. This is from the letter to the church at Laodicea that Jesus had John write to the churches, letting them know where they stood in terms of followership. As we look back at celebrating our blessings during Thanksgiving, and we look ahead to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I ask you to take a moment and stop. Look at the world around us and ask yourself, have you given your all to Jesus? Or are you still living with one foot on earth and one foot in heaven? Because we've all been there. But I'm hoping we've all given our all to Christ. Today, I want to compare the people in church of Laodicea to today's secular culture. Laodicea was one of the seven churches that Jesus told John to write letters to. The others were Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia. But ironically, Laodicea is the only church that Jesus had nothing commendable to say, only a rebuke. Laodicea was the wealthiest of these seven cities, known for its financial, manufacturing, and medical industry. The city, through its great wealth, built an aqueduct to bring water from a hot spring to the city. But by the time it reached the city, it became lukewarm, which describes the church as bland as it had become. Becoming lukewarm in your faith means that you become distasteful and repugnant to Jesus. Lukewarm believers do not stand for anything. They just won't take a stand. They're just wishy-washy. So it's about a personal relationship versus half-heartedness. And they had become half-hearted. They set the same standard that we see in so-called in-name Christians only. Because today, it's great to say you're a Christian, but to believe what the world tells you. So you're not standing firm. You're not standing with the Lord. They were settling on following God only halfway. To them, material wealth was more important as God's sign of spiritual blessings, which of course is the opposite of having a personal relationship with Christ, the most important thing a person can have. The Laodiceans were not finding their true riches in Christ. Christ's letter to them was for them to buy their gold, basically their true spiritual treasure, with Him. They needed to get their righteousness through a relationship with Christ, not their material possessions. Revelation 3:20 shows us a Christ that is knocking on the door. But they were so busy enjoying their worldly pleasures, their material pleasures, that they didn't notice they had put Christ outside and He was trying to get back into their lives. He was wanting them to open their hearts, the door to their hearts, back up. We see that in commercialization in Christmas, this time of year. The church at Laodicea had placed God so far from what He had ever planned that Christ is actually shut out from the whole thing. He's not even in the church. He's not even there. They have pushed culture in its place. But here in this verse, we see Christ is knocking. He's calling. He's promising to anyone who will let them into their heart. This verse shows Christ is outside. He's pleading. But He promises to save, He promises to sanctify, and He promises to secure us. So this in turn is a gospel verse to those people, the Laodiceans. Christ is outside. Behold, or I stand outside and knock, here I am. He is pleading, if any man hear my voice and open the door to your heart. But see, He also gives a solemn promise in this verse. He promises to save. I will come in to Him. He will place the Holy Spirit in our heart if we'll open the door to Him. He promises to sanctify. I will sup with Him. I am the bread of life. He promises to secure His people, and He will sup with me. You will have communion with Christ. So if we'll open up the door to our heart, He will sanctify us. He will give us security, and He will sanctify us. Today, though, we see this half-hearted Christianity that you hear preached from many pulpits and churches across our country. We are called to simply make Christ a part of our life. These churches tell us that we are not called to submit utterly to Him. We are called not to put Him completely at the center of our lives, which is so wrong. There is a reason why John the Baptist told us He must increase and I must decrease. It's because we should be working constantly to identify the parts of our lives that are not of Christ and put Him in the void. Now, nobody will ever achieve this perfectly while we're here on earth. But we are to strive for this perfection, a perfection where it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's a shame that many Christians won't hear this from their church leaders. They won't hear about a Christ that wants us to die to ourselves and live in submission to his will in all things. Instead, they hear about a Christ who only wants to tag along, like a buddy, you know, just hang out. Yo, bro, yo. They hear about a Christ who wants nothing more than to be a part of our lives. But no such Christ exists. He does not want to be a part. He wants the whole thing. In a word, he wants us to be a part of him. It's interesting, and I've heard this. I've heard this more than once, actually. I've heard people say, man, I tried Jesus, but it didn't work. I don't know how you could try Jesus. He's not something that you try. He's not a diet. He's not a thing. Jesus is the one you trust. He is the one you surrender yourself to entirely and completely. No other way. Our Lord and Savior doesn't just want weekend visitations. He wants full custody of our lives, 100%. The Laodiceans in Revelation 3 had placed Christ outside of the church instead of being the head of the church. And unfortunately, we see that more and more in culture, replacing Christ in the church, pushing out Scripture and replacing it with what's politically correct. Many people join a church, but let me ask you this. When are you going to join Jesus? Where are you in having a personal relationship with Christ? Jesus accepts us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us remain the way we are. I've seen it recently say, if there's no change, there's no change. And that is so true. If Christ hasn't changed your life, then there's no change in you. Let us look at Revelation 3:20 again. Behold, or I stand outside, just different version. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come in. I will bring the Holy Spirit to you, and I will sup with him. I will have communion with you, and he with me. And we have to realize he is giving the Laodiceans one last chance here in Revelation. And we need to compare that to today. He's giving us one last chance to push culture out and to fill ourselves with Christ. Now, I want you to think about the following words, because here's one of the messages for each of us today. And I like how Lonnie in the last service came up to me and said, that was good food for thought. So that's what I'm going to call this. This is good food for thought. I'm going to have you think about if Jesus came to your house. These questions you can ask yourself to kind of measure where you are in your walk with Christ. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two with you, if he came without warning, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, yeah. If Jesus came to your house to spend some time with you, if he came unexpectedly and just dropped in on you, well, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be your very best. And you would keep reassuring him that you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with your arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes or maybe some other things before you'd let him in? Or hide some books or magazines and put the Bible where it once had been? Would you turn off the TV or radio and hope he hadn't heard and wished you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word, especially during the Alabama-Georgia football game or maybe the high school championships this week? Yeah, there's some words might have been uttered. Maybe we're watching some TV shows or movies we shouldn't be watching, but that's the point we need to ask ourselves. Would you hide your worldly music and put some Christian music on? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you have to rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversations be able to keep up its normal pace? Or would you find it hard each meal to say a simple table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things upon which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or maybe would you have to change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope and pray that they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh in great relief when he at last was gone? So, oh yes, it might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. So, are you going to open the door to your heavenly visitor? Now, I want you to take a look at a painting here in a second. It depicts Revelation 3:20, and I don't know if that was its intent, but it depicts it perfectly. This picture hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and it's entitled The Light of the World. I don't know how well you can see it up here, but it shows Christ standing outside a door, the door of the church, a closed door. A door all overgrown with weeds, and he is patiently seeking admission. Now, these weeds aren't just little. They're up to here on him, showing how patient he is with us, patiently waiting, knocking on the door of our hearts. When the painting was hung, the critics came to review it, and one of the critics spoke to the painter, William Holloman Hunt. And he said, "Mr. Hunt, you have painted a magnificent picture, but you have made a terrible mistake. There is no handle on the door." But the artist quickly replied, "That is no mistake, my friend. The handle is on the inside." So, here is the King of Kings being put outside of the church that is his bride. He is the head of the church. So I ask you, is he the beginning and the end of your life? Every one of us has been ransomed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We owe our salvation to the fact that during the days of our sinning, God has kept the door of mercy open. But that time is running out. Now we're going to look at love defined through God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. And I want to talk to you today about my walk with Christ. I'm going to tell you a story that changed the way I walk with Christ each and every day. It makes me ensure that I work on my personal relationship with my Lord and Savior to ensure that I am mindful of the sacrifice made for me in John 3:16. A story that I use to measure my walk again each and every day. This is not a pleasant story, but it is a true story. An Amish family lost their oldest daughter 12 years ago. But it's the amazing way in which this young little girl handled this situation that changed my life forever. I did not know this young girl, but I followed her story immediately after this horrific event took place. A gunman walked into the West Nichols Mines Amish school in Pennsylvania. He ordered all the boys and all the adults out of the schoolhouse, and he lined up all the girls against the chalkboard, and he bound their legs with wire and plastic ties. And he then pointed a gun at them, letting them know that he was going to shoot them. At the best she could, the oldest girl in the class, 13-year-old Marion Fisher, made her way, stepping forward with her legs bound, and she told the gunman, "Shoot me first." This young girl of only 13 years old displayed this true sacrificial love that Scripture tells us about in John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. She lived her life knowing that Scripture is God's inerrant word. She lived the truth of 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Additionally, Miriam knew the revelation, the true meaning of 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. She knew as a true believer that one day we all will stand with Jesus. But she knew that through her being 100%. Think about the sacrificial love this girl had for the other girls in her class. She had stepped forward in the hopes that the gunman would shoot her and spare all the rest. Her younger sister, Barbara, known as Barbie, also stepped forward after her and told the gunman, "Shoot me second." Now please don't misconstrue that I'm trying to say the Amish way of life is what we should all strive for. That is not my message. But my message is the faith and belief in Scripture that these two young girls showed me actually brought me to my knees. I had to ask myself, do I have such a strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ that I would, if events happened to me, that I would lay down my life for any one of you? I pray every day that my walk with Christ be strengthened, that I never hesitate in any situation to remember to put Christ first. No matter how tough a day, how tough a situation, or even how mad I am, I want Christ to exude from me. Now, the gunman did shoot all the girls and then himself. But 5 or 6 of the 11 girls survived, including Barbie, Miriam's younger sister. And that's how we know about Miriam's selfless sacrifice. So as we reflect on the birth of Christ during this time of year, do you fully know that he was born so that he would face all our struggles, all our weaknesses, and take upon him all our sins? Do you know for sure that you truly have a strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have such a strong relationship that you know without a doubt the moment you take your last breath that you'll be standing with Jesus Christ? Do you want such a strong personal relationship that your entire being desires God's word to be part of your heart, part of your mind, and part of your soul, so that you can live with no room of doubt or apprehension that God's word is inerrant? If you want such a strong personal relationship with Christ, I ask you to seek out Pastor Terry or myself or Brother Dallas or many others here at Harmony that can lead you to understand how to have such a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I ask you, are you going to open the door to your heavenly visitor? Are you strong enough in your walk with Christ that you are willing to stand up and say, shoot me first? In this season that we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ, are you investing more in your personal relationship? Are you investing more in the culturalization, the commercialization of Christmas? Let's not get lost in what the meaning of this season is. Let me leave you with this quote attributed to Chief Tecumseh, but it's made famous as the letter from a Navy SEAL to his unborn child as he left for a mission he never returned from. This is just a small snippet of that letter. When it comes your time to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again in a different way. So, please don't fall into the trap that one day you have to beg and plead to live your life the right way. Live your life in Christ today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us what love is, for sending your Son and him giving the sacrifice for us, for showing us that no greater love than this is to give one's life, and that we have such a strong personal relationship with you that we know one day we will be walking with you when we take our last breath. Keep us ever mindful of that sacrifice made for us, and keep us mindful to pray for our pastor, Terry, and his family as you've sent him to shepherd us here at Harmony. We pray that you bring guidance, comfort, strength, and protection to him and his family. In Jesus' name, amen.